The second day of the Republican National Convention figures to be less dramatic than the first, when some delegates during the afternoon session noisily called for a roll call vote on the convention's rules. That request was denied. KJZZ's Jude Joffe Blanc is in Cleveland for the RNC convention, and she joins me. And Jude, on the issue of rules, it seems the story of Arizona's Lori Hack, who was elected as a delegate and then had her credentials revoked, seems like that story is not over yet.
Right. I was surprised because I was walking the halls of the Quicken Loans Arena. There was a big media scrum about some of the contentious stuff that happened on the floor. And there was Lori Hack. And I didn't realize she was going to be able to get in. But she doesn't have the delegate credential from Arizona, but she has a pass to be in the arena. And there she was. And she's working with one of these groups trying to unbind delegates. And it seems like that fight is over. There's nowhere else to go, from what I understand. But there might still be ways that they can make noise or voice dissent. So we'll be looking for that to happen. She still seems quite upset that her delegate credential was revoked by the Arizona party chair, Robert Graham. And it seems like she might not be done fighting on that front. Not sure where that will go, though.
Jude, there are a lot of obviously well-known politicos in Cleveland, but for Arizona, one of the biggest known politicos is Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio, with whom you have a report. You've reported on him for quite a while. He is in the building, right?
That's right. Well, Sheriff Joe Arpaio was elected to be a delegate from Arizona, and he's been making quite an impression at this convention. Just walking around with the sheriff, people are stopping him, wanting to take photos with him. If you're standing anywhere near him, people will hand you their cell phone and ask you to take a picture. This happened to me. It's amazing. He can't really walk a few feet without this happening. There was a mixer yesterday with the Arkansas delegation, and one of those delegates came up to me and said, if Sheriff Arpaio wanted to run for office in our state, you know, if he wanted to be governor, he could do it. He's so popular there. So there was definitely, at least among Arkansas Republicans at the convention, a lot of enthusiasm. And he's been doing a lot of national media as well while he's here.
Jude, what is on the agenda for tonight?
Tonight's theme is Make America Work Again, so it's jobs related, and we'll be hearing from a number of the members of the Trump family and also some high-profile Republicans. So this is Senate Majority Mitch McConnell's turn to talk, as well as House Speaker Paul Ryan. We'll be hearing from them, and that's, of course, interesting given that, you know, so many members of the Republican Party and sort of people associated with mainstream establishment Republican politics are not present.
That's KJZZ's Jude Joffe Blanc reporting from the Republican National Convention in Cleveland. For another perspective on yesterday's rules wrangling, I'm joined by GOP political consultant Constantine Carrard, who's one of Arizona's delegates. He was a Ted Cruz supporter, but will now vote for Trump. And Constantine, why did some delegates think the rules should have been set aside this one time?
There were a number of rules that had been pushed through that weren't very good rules. They had some good rules as well. I mean, the Rules Committee did some good work as well. But I think the media has characterized this as either Trump versus anti-Trump, which is probably an easy storyline. And I think it's what a certain number of delegates thought was going on. But in truth, the fact it wasn't a question of Trump or not Trump. There were a number of other rules that the delegates wanted to see changed. The idea is basically if you turn down the rules, it sends it back to the Rules Committee, and they know they need to bring you an improved product so that you can approve the improved product.
Would something done by the Rules Committee, though, really be able to overturn the Arizona law, which binds delegates on the first ballot?
No, and again, I think that's the narrative that causes the misunderstanding. There was no attempt to do that. There were a number of rules that were offensive to the delegation. For instance, the RNC was pushing a rule so that Rules Committee members' contact information would not be shared in the convention 4 years from now. It wouldn't be shared with the members of the Rules Committee until they got to wherever the next convention was, because they didn't want Rules Committee members getting organized and talking to each other in advance. Well, that's great if you're the RNC trying to consolidate control over the committee. But if you think the committee ought to be working things out ahead of time and making plans and actually communicating, you wouldn't want a rule like that in place. So there were a number of rules like that which actually were what the fight was about. But because the rules are a take it or leave it, you have to pass them all or reject them all. And it became really easy for the narrative to exist that somehow this was all about, you know, unbinding delegates or about Donald Trump, when it really was just about a number of other rules.
I imagine this is not your first convention. Have you seen something like this happen before, this kind of public rules fight, not just in the Rules Committee?
Yeah, it's not, sadly, it's not terribly uncommon. They had it 4 years ago when the Romney delegation was trying to ensure that Ron Paul wouldn't speak. It's not uncommon, but it drives people crazy every time.
Would it have been better, do you think, to just do the roll call vote, have it, see what the results are, and then move on from that?
Absolutely. I mean, the idea behind the roll call vote was to ensure that you wouldn't have a scene on the floor. In other words, if you give people a vote and they win the vote or they lose the vote, you know, everybody feels like the process was fair. You might be happy because you won or you lost, but in a fair process, you know, we're civilized, we proceed on to the next item. Where people get upset is, again, where the process is hijacked or the rules are ignored. In this case, to make sure that they recognized your right to a roll call vote, you had to submit written petitions from a number of states. And the RNC basically said, okay, well, you know, they were going delegation to delegation trying to twist arms to get people to unsign petitions. And at the end, they claimed that enough people had unsigned that you didn't have the minimum number of states. But even today, the RNC still won't release the names of the people who they claim unsigned. And so you have no way of knowing that the process was legitimate. And that's just not how Republicans function.
Do you think what happened yesterday afternoon will affect the rest of the convention and maybe affect the rest of this election on the Republican side?
No, there's generally not a lot of lingering damage that would impact the next election. What it does, unfortunately, is it increases the friction within the party. So it's the kind of thing that will come up at the next county meeting in Arizona or the next state meeting in Arizona or elections to the RNC. It'll be something that people 4 years from now will be anticipating. And it feeds a distrust between the grassroots and the establishment folks that run the RNC. And that's corrosive over the long term for a party.
Constantine Carrard is an Arizona delegate at the Republican National Convention in Cleveland. Constantine, thanks.
You bet. Have a great day.